I'm reticent about advertising. Yep, I've been so irritated by advertising for a very long time that it really, you know, pains me to actually do an advert myself. So this is the nearest thing to an advert that I will allow myself to do. And I suppose it's really in the form of a story. I was once somebody who looked down his nose at poets and had no interest in poetry and had only an interest in another P, politics. I consider that poets weren't properly engaged in the social struggle to better society. I thought that they had absented themselves from the struggle. Now forgive me demonstrating my patent lack of knowledge of what poets have been like in history, but this is a frank admission that I wasn't of the same mindset that I am today. But I had a Paul being struck off his horse moment, a blinding revelation and a flash. The day a friend of mine, meaning well, gave me a slim little volume of a biography of Wilfred Owen. And in this slim volume of Wilfred Owen, who is a poet, First World War poet, were facsimiles, or copies, I suppose, of the manuscript that Wilfred Owen had used to produce all of his war poems. And one in particular stood out for me, and it was Dulce et Decorum Est. Dulce et Decorum Est. And of course, it being Latin, of course, it was very attractive to a guy who had been to a Jesuit school and who once was able to intone things like Intro ibo ad altare Dei, adeam quid ictificat juventutum meam, and etc., etc., because I used to serve at Mass day after day after day for many years. So I learned the Latin Mass. That was indeed my undoing when they changed the Latin Mass to the English Mass, but that is another story, and I'm back to this being an advert. This is an advert. Can you believe this is my best shot at an advert? Where on earth are you going to, right? People are turning off in droves. Okay, I tell you this much, that train journey back from Sheffield to London changed my life. Made me realize the power of words when they were used in a different way. It made me realize that words could be used to affect emotions, not just the head and ideas. And when layered on top of that, I found myself in a bed less than a year later and picked up a slim little volume alongside the bed, and it said Selected Poems, Walt Whitman, and I read the introduction. By the time I'd finished reading the introduction, I was a changed man. I had actually got hooked into a new form of language, and that led me to then becoming a poet. And that was my undoing. I changed the way I was. And as a result of that, I'm now giving you an advert. I'm giving you an advert for my poetry. This whole thing led forward, fast forward a while later, to me producing a volume of poetry, which is absolutely horrendous. The book I have written, poetry that I have written, is horrendous. It's full of politics, sex, religion, weather, money, bankers, people being screwed, civilizations being screwed. It's full of ogres, it's full of Beowulf, it's full of the man from Snowy River, it's full of all these poets you may have heard about and some you can barely remember who they were. I remember we did Paradise Lost at school. I threw that into the poem too. We did the Toyne somewhere along the line and I threw that in, except this time I actually read the things in order to put them into the poem, right? So, and basically I decided that the only way I could get somebody to read something was to turn it into a form of a story, so I turned it into a crime novel. So I've actually written a crime novel. I've written a crime novel in the form of a poem, and basically the whole thing is that there are gangsters in it who are trying to kill somebody. And the guy they're trying to kill is the fella who's trying to find out if there's even so much as a single honest person. I'd call him a man in Ireland in November 2009. Because I set the action in 2009 because that's the year that Brian Cowan was in charge, and that's the year that Brian Cowan and all those other people that are mentioned in the poems and their wives are responsible for what happened in Ireland. In other words, I've named names, I've named names of families, I think I've named certain people's grandfathers and great-grandfathers,
And I could get sued for this poem, basically, because, you know, there's a whole lot of cover-up going on, has gone on, and this poem actually attempts to get to the root of it, and it's a desperate attempt to move through, basically, the counties of Cork, Kerry, and what happens in Kerry is unrepeatable on a you know, before the 9 o'clock watershed, because in it, women eat men. Yeah, they absolutely, there's a fierce, fierce woman in the poem who actually does incredible things to people. And there's a huge amount about religion in it too, I have to tell you. There's an awful lot about religion in it, and it's and things that people do in religion, and the behaviours of people in religion, and the things that they have done in the name of religion is in there too. But it isn't just religion. There are also poets in there. And, you know, there are poets who told stories. And there's even there's a poem missing from this epic poem that I have written. It's called An Englynion. It's Welsh. Those of you who know anybody in Wales, please apologise to them, because there is absolutely no poetic form called An Englynion. And if you don't know what An Englynion is, you're bloody lucky, because it's very, very difficult to write. And I wouldn't go writing one if I were you at all. I did actually once try to write 50 or 60 of them, and it takes an awful long time to be able to write them. On the other hand, there are loads of haikus, you know, that pithy little Japanese thing where, you know, a bird lands on a branch and next minute it's all gone, and that's a haiku, that type of, you know, tiny moment that there is. So what is it? This is an advert for a kind of book which is going to get me thrown out of Innisdiamond, where I am at the moment. I've got to go to a Listria festival. I've got to actually speak at a Listria festival. And thank goodness there are no copies of the book around here in the hotel, because there are actually no hard copies of this book in existence at all, except the one I have myself to read from. Why? Because it's to be found in a place called Kindle Store. Now, I'm very keen on the Americans. I told you before Walt Whitman was one of the people responsible for getting me to write this, but the book, I put it in the Kindle store, not the Kindle shop, which is what you'd have it if it was in Ireland, right? So basically, I love the fall, I love trunks, I love stores, I love movies. I basically love the Americans in the hope that they're going to buy my book, right? Right. Please buy the book seems to be the underpinning message. I put it in the Kindle store, right? And that's the only place it can be found, right? And it's basically, you can even get it, you can even get to read some of it. Like, you know, you can go into a bookshop and you can linger up and you can read the book. You put it back on the shelf and you can walk out and go back in the next day and read next of it, a bit of it, right? Well, they give you a bit to read in the Kindle store, right? So look. The one thing is, do not touch this book. Do not touch this book if you are of delicate sensitivity. I am not responsible for anybody who has coronary arrest while actually reading the book, because parts of it are actually so shocking that you are of delicate sensitivity. I advise you, do not read it. Buy it and give it to your best friend, right? But don't look at it yourself, right? It's actually could be quite dangerous to some people. And I take no responsibility. I'm just like the civil servant who says I give advice and I'm responsible for no decisions, right? We blame the blooming politicians. So that is covered in the poem as well, right? All the stuff about politics and civil servants and all that kind of thing. By the way, there is actually some nice stuff about the weather. Those of you who are seriously interested in weather, you'll find a lot in the poem. There's a lot of stuff about the floods in Cork and who let the water out, right? And that's all there. So let me try and summarise. This is an ad, right? This is the only kind of advertisement I'm ever going to do ever in my entire life, and I want to get it over as quickly as possible, because you must be getting fed up listening to the stuff that's in this book. What would you like to... There's war in this book, yeah. Let me tell you, there are wars. People like wars, people hate wars, so there's stuff in this, so you can be on one side or the other of the war, but there's definitely an awful lot of people dying in this book, right? There are people dying for a better life. There are people dying for salvation. There are people dying for improvement. And there are people dying for social change, right? And there's a few dead bodies on the way as well, right? And I will not spoil the ending. I will not tell you who dies at the end. Those of you who are into opera will get a feast, absolutely feast. There's loads of stuff about Wagner in there. Forgive me. Fricka, Brunhilde, all that kind of Norse epic stuff. If it's epic, it's in there. Even The Man from Snowy River. Those of you in Australia, right? It's an absolute must buy if you're into horses racing up the side of a mountain, because all of it has been rewritten into the Irish countryside where people are chasing each other all over the place, some of them with no clothes on. So there you are. Look, don't let me loose to do any more advertising. The book is about to be launched on an unsuspecting public down here in County Clare, which is indeed where De Valera had a home base, right? And my grandfather was De Valera's election agent in 1918. I'm appealing to the Shinners vote. Please buy Eamon, what do you call him, the beardy guy, and the other guy, who neither of whom ever picked up an Armalite in their entire life. Both of those are in the book, right? Everybody's in there. I even suspect Mary Lou might be in there, but I can't swear to it. Don't go looking for her too much. There are loads of women, and the real power in this book is women, because women buy more poetry than men buy poetry, so I'm appealing to the female vote. I tell you one thing, by the way, in case you think it's all Roman, Catholic, Christian stuff, no, there's loads of stuff for Hindus, there's loads of stuff for Muslims in it. Yeah, who else is in it? The Mahabharata. The whole story of the Mahabharata is in there, and there is a big, big elephant who plays a major role in it. And those of you who are writers, I guarantee you that a moleskin appears also as a major character in it, right? There are one or two undertakers as well, grave diggers, reference to Shakespeare here and there. And if there's any single poet in the history of the whole of personkind that is left out, I apologise to them, although I can actually tell you that there is absolutely nothing by Edward Lear in it. Nothing by Edward Lear, as far as I know, right? So those of you, and there may not even be, even though I come from Limerick, I was born in Limerick, even though I ran away from Limerick at a certain age, I think I probably didn't put a single Limerick in it. But if you can find the one Limerick in the poem, I'll give you a free copy. So there you are. Kindle Store, right? You probably won't like it yourself, right? But that shouldn't stop you being able to give it to your Aunt Matilda. You may, indeed, she may love you for having it. So, look, what can I say? You, I believe entirely in attraction marketing, right? You buy what you want. The last thing you want is somebody pushing you in any direction, right? So, for your consideration, ladies and gentlemen, I give you Irish Epic Poem in 33 cantos, one less than Dante, by the way. I blame Dante. Dante wrote 34 cantos, right? The whole thing is an attempt to write an Irish Inferno, right? It is the Irish Inferno, you know, and it is, does it have a happy ending? Well, you know, who knows? What one person's happiness is another person's misery, right? So I give you all the wealth of human emotions can be found in there, and there's some beautiful landscape stuff. It's very lyrical, and it can actually be very nice, and you could at times fall asleep reading it. So I give you, ladies and gentlemen, my best shot at an advert.